right, so we're going to get right into it today, man. Taste and see. And again, the reason why I wanted to come here to this sermon series, this talk that we're having, is because of the fact that I spoke in the last one that instead of interpreting God through your circumstances, interpret your circumstances through the goodness of God. And unless you know what the goodness of God is according to the scripture, how can you interpret it, your life through that? Amen? And so David says in Psalms to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who takes refuge in him, in the Lord. And so today we're going to cover a topic that we are, the world is looking around and scratching their head and wondering and asking the question, and it's really the number one question that's asked whenever healing is talked about and God, is divine healing for today, right? Is it for today, or is that just something that happened in the Word of God? And I would answer to you without hesitating, according to God's Word, that yes, it is for today. Because God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you know His promises, what He does, who He is, will be the same from now until the end of time? So if it happened before, it can happen again. Amen? If it happened in 2,000 years ago or before that, it can happen today. One of the things that you need to understand is that God can heal you of every situation. There's nothing too big or too small. Before we talk about how God can heal us, I want to talk about our nation right now, man. Our nation needs healing right now more than ever before. Right? There's so much turmoil. There's so much conflict. There's so much issue. You got people in their family hating each other because of their political background. You got people hating each other because they take the vaccine or they don't take the vaccine. You got people hating each other because this life matters and that life matters. And if you say this, that means that. And if you're doing this and it's that. You know, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed in this world today. And the scripture tells us that God is the only thing that can do it. Right? We can come together and we can make this idea or this program or this thought process, but ultimately God is the only one that's going to change the hearts of the people. Right? God is the only one that can restore those things that are broken. And you say, well, if that's the case, if only God can do it, then what's our part in it? Right? Do we have a part? Why bother? Right? Well, if I can't, I've heard people say about politics, they say, you know, me voting, me putting my mind out there doesn't do any good anyway, so why even bother? It does matter. You do matter. Your voice matters, regardless of what people say or what people think. Let me tell you something. That's a lie of the enemy to say, it doesn't matter what I do. Okay? Get involved. And with God restoring the land, there's a part that you and I have to play in it. Are you ready for it? Some of y'all know where I'm going. Some of y'all don't. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their lands. How many of you know this is one nation under God? How many of you, I'm going to say that again because it didn't get a good response. How many of you know this is one nation under God? Regardless of what people try to do or where they try to make it, we are the most blessed nation in the world. Amen. And it's because of God. It's because of God. Now, this is what I want us to catch out of this scripture, man. If my people who are called by my name, are you God's people? Yes. I'm his people. You're weak. So what is our part? What do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. We need to let pride go. Prayer's coming next, Charles. Don't worry. You got the second half of that, brother. It's coming. We need to humble ourselves. We need to get pride out of our lives. We need to get pride out of our lives. We need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to turn from our evil way. Turn from the way of the world. Because a lot of times today, the church as a whole looks like the world instead of being separate, right? Now, again, we talked about this in our Bible studies this week. Actually, in both Bible studies this week, we talked about how being separate from the world doesn't mean that we're not a part of it. Doesn't mean that we're not in it. If you were to take yourself out of the world, you'd have to leave. right? If you want to take yourself out of the way that the world impacts your life and the influence the world has on you, you would have to leave from this world. That's the only option. Because TV, media, everything that you go to, magazines, Facebook ads, all the stuff is pointing you to the way of the world, right? So for us to be able to leave, that's kind of impossible, really. We're going to have the influences coming to us. The impact that we allow those influences to have in our life is a totally different story. Besides the fact that if I walk away from everyone who does not believe what I believe about the Word of God and about the Bible, how are those people ever going to learn about God and what He wants to do and who He could be in their lives? How? So we're supposed to be in the world, around the world, but not of it. How many of you know one of the first things that people say, like, well, Jesus, He was with prostitutes and drunkards and sinners, and He did all that kind of stuff, so I can too. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was not swayed at all by what they were doing. There was no impact on Him as what was going on in that aspect. Ask yourself, will I have the same strength to be able to stand in that way? A lot of us put ourselves in that place without the ability, without walking by the Spirit, without having that foundation underneath us, and then we end up being a part of the group instead of helping the group. Just so you know, we're supposed to turn from our wicked ways. We're supposed to leave those things behind us, become new creation. Right? New creatures is what I like to say. My wife's like, don't call us creatures. I like that part. I just like saying it like that. Man, you, we're new creatures, right? Anyway, we're supposed to be new, transformed, different. And the problem is right now we're not transformed. We're not different. We're allowing the same things to impact our lives for the negative instead of the positive. Now, I'm not going to get too far into how we're doing that yet because it's going to come later on in the sermon. But one of the things that we need to understand about this scripture is God is talking to people that are following Him. Again, are you a follower? Are you a Christ follower? People that are trying to live their best for Him and follow after Him. He's not saying right now that I need to make sure that every person I come in contact with knows that they need to humble themselves and knows that they have evil ways. It doesn't say that there. This is one of the aspects where it's okay to be selfish. When it comes to looking for issues, should only be selfish, right? I'm not supposed to look at issues outside of the church. I'm not supposed to really look for issues outside of myself. Now, I can help my brothers grow, and if I see an issue coming, look, if me and Shane like to go out to the woods and ride around in our vehicle, in our Jeeps and stuff, right? We go quite a bit, or kayaking or something. So if I am with Shane and I see him heading towards something that is going to be dangerous, like there's a big pothole. If I'm in front of him, there's a big pothole or a big drop-off. I'm like, hey, man, there's a drop-off, right? Why? I'm warning him that is where he is headed. But I'm not doing it in a mean way. Like, Shane, you're horrible. How could you head for that hot pothole, man? How dare you? Right? That's dumb. That's what we all say. Everybody say it. Say, that's dumb. Some of y'all didn't say it. Do it again. Okay. See, what happens is it's a true statement. We all look at it and say, man, that's dumb. But we do it with the scripture. We do it with God's word. We look at people and say, you're horrible because you don't live the way God says you're supposed to live. In this scripture, he doesn't say I'm supposed to do that. He says I'm supposed to look at myself, humble myself, and pray. If my people, called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, look to him for our answers, not to everything else that's around us, not to programs to medical stuff, right? We're supposed to look towards him. Now, I'm being for real with y'all. If I fall down from a heart attack right here while I'm on a thing, I want everybody in here to pray. But I want somebody to call 911 so then people will come get me and take me to the hospital, right? Like I believe that God gave us medicine, but I believe that he doesn't want us to put our faith and our hope solely in that. I believe God has given us all kinds of things for our lives, but I don't believe that he's wanting us to put our faith in that. He's wanting us to put our faith in that, and if he uses that, okay, so be it. Right? People get angry. People are angry today. They're frustrated. They're aggravated. Again, whether you wear a mask, whether you don't wear a mask. Masks aren't as much of a thing now today as they used to be, but they're still a thing. Right? Whether you take the vaccine, whether you don't take the vaccine, whether you voted for Trump, whether you voted for Biden, whether you did this or whether you did that, whether you believe in this or whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Do you know in Afghanistan right now they're having a really, really not hard time. They are having a hard time. That's not what I'm trying to say. They are having to stand or bow right now. I say this, man, and every time I say this, people look at me like I'm mean or something. In America, we do not face persecution today. Right now, they're finding out what persecution is. Right? I pray and hope to God that we never see it here. I do. But I want them to be able to look to Him for their answers, for their delivery, not America. I want them to be able to look to God for their delivery, not bowing or giving in, right? I want God to be able to do an amazing thing. And you know the only way that's going to happen, 100%, is if we humble ourselves, seek His face, pray, ask Him to take care of those situations. And then what ends up happening? Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. We need that more than anything. We need that more than anything. Oh, Proverbs 29:11 says this. Says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Do you know we're supposed to be frustrated? We're supposed to be aggravated. We're supposed to be angry about things that are injustices, things that are against God. We're supposed to be angry about those things. Human trafficking should not be, right? People going hungry, whether they're in this country or another country in this world, should not be. We should be angry about those things and try to do everything we can to help, right? But what happens is we start to run our mouths, but we don't have any action to go behind it. We jump on Facebook and we hammer stuff and we do this and we do that. But what steps have I made to fix, to help, to change? If I haven't, then I'm what the King James Version calls in this same book, same verse, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth in till afterwards. Right? We need to allow actions to come from our lives. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to look to God and turn to Him and allow Him to change everything. We can't just do nothing. And if that's what you say and that's what you do, if you stand back, then you're absolutely incorrect. Right? Let me change that because it sounds like I'm being judgmental. If I do nothing, then I am absolutely incorrect. I need to change the way that I'm doing things. And I need to start with what? Humbling myself. Praying. Because this is the thing, man. Prayer changes stuff, y'all. It does. 100% it changes stuff. We can see it all through His Word. I can tell you story after story after story. I want you guys to do me a favor. I want to try and do something here. This is a squirrel. I'm catching Tobias. He's back in the back. I see him. that's for Rob, y'all. Sorry. He's not here, but I'm sure he's listening. Anyway, I want y'all to do something. If God changed your life by way of prayer, by way of any of the things that we've talked about and we're going to be talking about over these next few months, I want you to contact me. Whether you do it on Facebook, whether you text me, whether you call me, because I'm going to ask some of you guys to do something special for me, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's something that I want to do, and Aaron and I have talked about trying to make it happen, and we'll do it towards the end of this series. But if God has completely transformed, completely changed by way of something that's happened in your life, and you can see the goodness of God as we are talking about, I want you to contact me sometime. Not right now, because I'm kind of in the middle of something. But later, by Facebook or text message or give me a call. I want to try and do something. So, but getting back to where we're at, I'm coming back in into where we're supposed to be in Noteland. Prayer changes things. So we need to turn towards Him. We need to look to Him. When we talk about, are we God's people? And I ask you, are you His child? Are you His people? And you say yes. The one thing that I want us to look at is what John chapter 13, verse 35 says. All right? And this is an important thing, that this is self-evaluation again. Don't elbow your neighbor or husband. Don't look at your wife and be like, he's talking to you right now. Don't do that. But this is what it says in that verse. It says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What are your actions right now? When you meet somebody that's mean to you, that's rude to you, that's disrespectful to you, are you showing them love or are you going to give them eye for an eye? What does your life look like? How do you handle these situations? Because this is the thing, man, when Christians love one another, it's a powerful witness to the world. When Christians fight and bicker and argue over a verse in the Bible that ultimately doesn't have anything to do with changing our salvation or bringing people to Him, it's a poor witness to the world. Look how they treat their own family. What do they care about me? Make sense? Y'all being awful quiet in some of these spots, man. That was a real good place for amen, brother, preach it, right? We need to be different. We need to pray that God heals our land. And that we can love one another through the entire process. And that He uses us to bring about the change because we love people. Because we care about people. Because we honor people. So today, I'm going to talk about three ways God can heal us, how He can make us whole. The first way of how God can heal us is emotionally. That's what we're going to talk about first of all. When we think about healing, many times we don't think about our emotions. But for you to be whole, how many of you know it takes care of every aspect, and emotions is one of it. And a lot of times, it shouldn't be this way, but a lot of times our lives are led solely by our emotions. A lot of people, more so than others, but I'm going to tell you what, most of us live that way a lot. Our emotions dictate who we are and what we say and the people we take care of and the people we don't take care of. And depending on how I feel today, but this is the thing, in order for you to be whole emotionally, one of the most important things you need to do is let some stuff go. Let some of your past go. You don't forget it. Listen, forgive and forget is that's dumb, right? I think it's better to forgive and still remember it all, because that shows that I don't really care and I have forgiven you and you are a part of my life. Not forget. Don't let yourself get put in that same spot again. Right? Man, look, one of y'all kicks my dog, I'm going to forgive you, but I ain't going to let you around my dog. Look what you did last time. I've forgiven you for it. I ain't holding it against you. Man, you're still friends, but I ain't going to put up some barriers to keep you from kicking my dog again. I love my dog. That's like one of my daughters, right? But I do need to let those things go and not control and consume my life. We got to let it go. We've been hanging on to our emotional hurts for too long. Listen to this quote, man. If you don't let the past die, then it won't let you live. If you don't let your past die, then it won't let you live. It will keep you bound up. You've got to get past your past. There's a saying that says, time heals everything. You guys have all heard that before. That's a crock. It doesn't heal everything. That's ridiculous. You know what? If you don't take care of issues in your life, they fester, they destroy, they ultimately end up killing. Do you know that you can get a splinter on your finger and it can end up, if you don't take care of it and your body doesn't eject it and things don't go right, it can end up the poison, the festering gets into your blood system and can ultimately kill you from a splinter. Right? Do you know a pebble in your shoe can ultimately, if not taken care of, can ultimately lead to your death? Same principle. The blister comes, the not taken care of, it becomes infected. It takes it, and it can consume your whole body. Right? You say, well, that's kind of extreme. It's a true statement, though. As the medical profession, it's a true statement. If you don't care, take care of stuff and the infection gets into your bloodstream, it can be lights out. Right? Time doesn't heal everything. God does. He's the one that heals our emotions. He's the one that will take those things away. He's the one that will give us. So there's supposedly like five stages of grief, and the last one is acceptance, right? I understand this is where we're at. I understand this is how it affected my life, and now I'm going to live. Do you know some people never get to that point, and it destroys their life? They stay emotionally infected, right? For those of you, again, who have been hurt, man, you know that's not true at all. Only time doesn't heal all wounds. Time doesn't heal anything, right? God does. Only God can take away the hurt. Only God can heal it. And again, if you don't allow God to heal it, time will make it worse, not better. Psalms 34, 17 through 19 says this, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. How many of you can say, many are the afflictions of the righteous in your life sometime? There's a lot of issues in my life. Seems like the ones that don't come to God have less issues. You know what? Sometimes that might be the case. Sometimes we put ourselves in the worst place. It has nothing to do with God or the devil. I could do bad all by myself, right? Wasn't that a quote from somewhere, right? I could do bad all by myself. I don't need no help. But sometimes there are attacks from the enemy that only come because we are children of God. And he wants to take our, to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the main things he wants to kill and destroy are our emotional being, our lives on the inside. Because look, if you can't get your emotions lined up, do you know what? It is scientifically, medically proven that your emotions can cause you bodily harm. Stress. That's what does that come from? From not being emotionally healthy. We need to give everything to him and allow him to make us whole. You got some stuff that's happening, but God is delivering you from it. What I love is that he says that the Lord delivers them from everyone. Do you know the only way he can deliver you from that? Is if you're not going to let it go. You're going to hold on to it. It's mine. I'm going to keep it. It's my hurt. I'm going to keep it. Do you know what? Oh, wow. Some people's whole personality, being, and character is that. And if it was taken from them, they don't know who they'd be. You know, it's dangerous to go someplace you don't know. It's dangerous to say, well, if I don't have this, what do I have in my life? What can I hold on to? Look, we need to let go of all that stuff, man, all that baggage, all those things that are holding us. We need to not forget about them, but we need to forgive. We need to forgive, and we need to allow God to bring us through all those and to deliver us from all those. God says if you're brokenhearted, he's close to you. All you got to do is cry out. God, where are you at in the middle of my situation? He's like, I'm right here waiting on you to give it to me, right? I'm waiting on you to let it go. I've been trying to pull it away from you, but you just don't let me. It may be a divorce you never got over. It may be the last time that you said goodbye to a loved one, you still haven't let that go. Maybe you had Maybe you had an argument right before you lost a loved one. Right? You know what? I hate saying lost because we know right where they are. Scripture says that it's appointed for every man wants to die and then judgment. All of our family members go to see God when they leave here. We know where they're at. Right? We know where they're at. Jesus said this. He said, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. You know what? We know where loved ones go. Some of them we wonder, of course, you know, were they living for God? Did they give their lives to him? Look, I can't tell you where somebody gave their life to him or not. I can't tell you honestly if you guys sitting in this room gave your life to him or not. How many of you know some people are really good at covering stuff up? Right? Just the thought, right? Just being honest. We never truly know about the person but we can know about ourselves. We can know about ourselves. I know if I've given my life to Christ. I know if I'm following him. I know if I've given him my everything. I know if he's my Lord and Savior, not just my Savior. I want to keep the whole Lord part separate. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You may have had to say goodbye to a loved one, man. You may have had a situation that crushed you that happened when you were young, right? And I can say that situation because that don't put it in a box. All of us had situations in our past that could have emotionally destroyed us. Every single one of us, some worse than others. Look, just because your situation isn't as bad as my situation doesn't make it any less real for me. And that's one of the things we need to remember when people go through issues and problems and trials, whether we understand it or not. I've had some friends that said, I have never understood depression. Just get over it, man. Just go on through it. Until something happened and they got depressed. And they said, I know what you're talking about now. I know exactly what you mean. Right? All that can be taken care of with emotional healing that only comes from God. One way that he does. Psalms 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Do you notice in here that he binds up the wounds? He doesn't just automatically straight away heal everything, right? He doesn't make it so that it's new. He helps the process happen in our lives sometimes. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that there is a process to healing that takes place. Can he ultimately just say, yep, you're healed? Yes, he can. But he can also bring us through it and walk us through it in ways for healing to come as well. Sometimes it's not him walking us through it that's his fault. It's our fault because we refuse to let go of it. And he has to pry it little by little by little. Just a thought. But listen to the amazing promise that's there. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. God wants to heal you emotionally today. He wants to restore you. He wants to make you whole. Second way, physically. God is still on the throne. That means he can still heal. Is it? Physically. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross paid for your healing. It paid for my healing. Amen? 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins on his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Again, some people are like, well, he's just talking about spiritually, access to God. No, when God does anything, he makes people whole. What did he say? Go, your faith has made you not sick anymore. No. Your faith has made the blood issue go away. He said, no, it's made you whole. He took care of every aspect. Do you know when you come for physical healing and prayer, you should also ask God to forgive your sins at that moment? So, My dad helps me and trains me and teaches me, and he does it as gently as he can sometimes. Look, y'all, hold up. I'm just going to tell y'all, this is a side, but this is amazing to me. So I got to do that funeral. I did it at Loomis Funeral Home, which used to be in the 80s, early 80s, Apopka Assembly of God, where my father was the pastor of, right? And he was there at where Loomis Funeral Homes is until 86, 87. Loomis took over. He built the big one. Dad built a big one on Park Avenue. It's like Thrive Church now or something like that. So anyway, I got to stand on the pulpit, behind the pulpit. It's still the same one, y'all, that my dad preached at when he started this ministry over 40 years ago. How cool was that, right? I also got to walk into where my dad's office used to be, and I took a picture with Steve down there, and we stood in front of the bookends that held all my dad's book that was built into the wall. It's still the same one, still there. We went in there and took a picture, and as I was walking my daughter in this room, do you know what I said? The only thing that came to my mind is like, do you know how many spankings I got in this room right here? Like, right here. This is amazing to be standing here again, but my backside's not hurting, so I'm excited, you know what I'm saying? I was like, that's what I could think of. But how amazing was it that I was there and to be a part of that? But anyway, sorry, that was aside. I'm going to go back to my dad now. My dad one time asked me to pray for him, and he asked me if I had oil, and I didn't. And he said, the scripture says that if there's any sick among you, let them come before the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil, that healing would come, but that their sins would be forgiven. And look, my dad is the most godly man that I know. And he looked me dead in the eye. He said, I need my sins forgiven. Look, you need your sins forgiven. I need my sins forgiven. Jesus paid for that on the cross. But with that, he paid so that you and I could be whole. Not just a portion taken care of. Not just sort of fixed. Right? God, I want you to heal me, just sort of fix me, okay? That's not what he does. But that's what our prayer is, right? Just take care of this symptom. Take care of this aspect. Take care of this one thing. I tell you what, whenever we come for healing, whenever we come for God to change something in our life, it ought to never come without God. Whatever's broken in me, fix it. Whatever is broken in me fixes. Because a lot of times, some of the things that are broken in us is what some of the things that needs fixing, the symptoms, come from a much deeper underlying issue that we don't take care of, so the symptoms never go away. They come back even if he takes us away from us right now. We put ourselves back there. Remember the little lamb that jumped out over the ditch and then right back in? Remember I talked about that, I think, last week? One of the weeks? Anyway, it was a cute video, that's all. We need to understand that our whole body, Jesus paid for it. By his wounds, you have been healed. Every stripe that he took for your healing. And you got to get this. It says whose stripes you were healed. That means it's a past tense. That means it's already done. That means it is finished. Took care of my healing and your healing for us to walk in it. The price for your healing has already been paid, man. I like what Benjamin Franklin says. I think we put it on the screen. God heals you and the doctor take fees. Benjamin Franklin. I like that one. Again, medicine. Hey, do I go to the doctor? I do. If I fall over, do I want y'all to call 911? Yes, as every single one of y'all is praying for me. Right? Saying, God, take care of him before he gets there. That way they ain't got to stick me with all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I ain't about jumping out the ambulance and walking away because I'm all good now. I'm all right with that. I'm healed. Don't worry about me. I'm not saying that doctors are bad. I'm not saying that medicine is bad. But I do believe in not putting God in the box, saying that medicine can take care of me. Please let this medicine work. Doctor can take care of me. And what the doctor says is the final thing. Please, God, give him wisdom. Now, do I want him to have wisdom? Yes, I do. But do I need to take care of some things on my own? Yes, I do. And the main thing is that I need to come to him and get my life straight. Humble myself. Pray. Turn from my wicked ways. Then he'll heal my land. Then he'll bring restoration. We put him in a box way too many times. Look, I can't see you all that great, but I don't really want Jesus to make mud patties and stick them in my eye. But if that's what it's going to take for me to see, man, so be it. Like, he's spitting mud, but like, here, guy, put this on your eye. You'll be all better. Like, are you sure you're hearing from God, doctor? You know what I'm saying? Are you sure this is going to work? Go dip 7 times in the Jordan. Oh, man, that water is nasty. Have you seen the Jordan River lately? I mean, are you sure I can't, like, do something else? God uses doctors. He uses medicine. He uses our own bodies to heal ourselves. Right? How amazing it is that our body repairs itself. Right? Y'all don't get mad at me now. I'm going to hide behind this thing so y'all can't throw stuff at me. He uses eating, right, and exercising to heal your bodies too. Oh, man, come on. Why you had to go there? But it all equals to God. It all equals to that he's the giver of life. He's the great physician. Where a doctor has limitations, God doesn't have any. Where eating right is not enough, he's more than enough. Where medicine can't fix it, he can. He's the great physician. Nothing is impossible for our God. Ephesians 3:20, man, get this verse. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work, where at? In us. The power at work in us. I like what the Living Bible says. It says, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes. He's bigger than all those. And he wants to do something amazing in our lives. Let's not put him in a box, man, because he's able to redeem us. He rescues us. He heals us. Our God can do anything. Our God can do anything. He's done it before. Look in the scriptures. He's done it before. Look in the scriptures. If he did it for somebody else, he could do it for you. This is the one thing that those people, if you notice, one thing that these people all had in common is that either they came to him, sought him out, and said, Jesus, heal me, or when he told them what to do, they did it. The man laying by the pool. Like, why are you laying here? Like, well, I ain't got nobody to put me in the water. He's like, get up and walk. Like, but I ain't got nobody to put me in the water. He could have said that. He didn't say that. What did he do? He got up, he picked up his bed, and he went home. Like, wow, it was that easy all along, right? Why? It takes obedience on our part. It takes obedience on our part. We got to come to him. We got to give it to him. We got to turn from our way. So he heals us emotionally. He heals us physically. And the last way, and one of the most important in my mind, is spiritually. I believe that our church, the church of today, needs to develop a reverence for God. I believe that's gone in the church. I believe that's gone in the world. I believe we have become very relaxed when it comes to God in our lives. And it's true. It's true. 100%. God is love. God is forgiving. God is merciful. God is full of grace. But if you look at the scripture, he's also a righteous God. He's a just God. And he is a God that is to be feared. Proverbs 9:10 says, "Fear the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So he is greatly to be respected. He's greatly to be praised. He's greatly to be adored and worshiped. Jesus told us this in Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those that can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. We get it backwards. We're worried about what the world thinks about us, the people that we come around thinks about us, instead of what God thinks about us. That's in the church too, y'all. And that's in the church. We want people to like us. I mean, I want people to like me. But not if it comes at the expense of going against what God has to say or me standing up for him. If I think you're doing something wrong, look, I'm gonna be honest. I'm going to tell you. It might take me a minute to work up the courage because I like people and I want people to like me. But ultimately, if it comes, so let me say this. There was a situation that happened, and I saw it coming. I saw the symptoms, right? And I never went and talked to someone that had the problem that brought the symptoms about. Something happened, and the problem came to light for all to see. And it was my fault. He said, no, you didn't do it. You didn't even have a part of it. He said, no. I saw it, and I let it go. I let it go. I'm pastor. I should not be the one to let things go. I mean, even if you want to get mad at me, I shouldn't be the one to let things go. Me, personally, that's what I believe. I should come and say, hey, I see this happening, like I was saying earlier. I see the pothole coming. Shane, turn. I should do that, regardless of what people think about me. I should always do it in love. But do you know, ultimately, you should do the same thing to people? If you see the issue coming in love, don't be like, man, you're an idiot. Stop doing that. Don't you see what's happening? That's not in love. Look, you don't come to somebody because you love them. You tell them these things, right? You come to them in love when you speak them. Totally different thing. Totally different thing. I love what Grace Wesley said. Y'all ready? Said, I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. We've forgotten that. We've forgotten that. It's so important that we stand with God. It's so important that you're right with God, because again, tomorrow's never promised. James 4:14 said, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Right? In the grand scheme of eternity, our life is smaller than this, right? Our time that we were here, even thinking back, man, when I was a kid in school, a week took like a year and a half, right? I'm just going to be real. A week took like a year and a half, man. It was like forever before I went to church on Sunday again, you know? And it was them school days, 8 hours, was like 48 hours at a time, just condensed, right? On the clock somehow. It just, like, think back. That's how it was. But now, do you know what? Like I said, it's January was last week to me. It's September 1st this coming week. It flies. It goes by quickly. If we understand that from God's perspective, it's even quicker. Right? We don't know what's going to happen. I pray to God nothing happens to any of us in here. But we could go out these doors and one of us could be called to go stand in front of him today. We don't know. We don't know. So why would we chance? Why would we not live our lives for him the best that we could? All day, every day. Amen? All day, every day. That's why it's so important that we stand for God. Not just for you, but for your family. Do you know how many people I wish I'd have told about Jesus Christ and what he did for them and found out that they're not there no more? And I can't. And I should have. That's why it's so important that you're right with God. That's why it's so important that we pray, that we get into his presence, that we understand what God wants to do with our lives and we allow him to do it and not worry about what the world thinks about us or what people think about us or society thinks about us, what our family thinks about us, and think about what does God say about what I do with my life, how I live it. David said this prayer, and it's actually a prayer. That's the prayer that we need today. And I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it from the ESV because we always go from there. But then I'm going to read it from the King James. It says it a little bit different. But it says, you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. I like, again, what the King James Version says. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked thing in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to take some time and look to God and say, God, what are my issues, man? What are my problems? Where am I falling down? Where am I not being who you created me to be? How can I change? So that I can impact the people that I come in contact with. How can I live out my life knowing that you have healed me spiritually? That should change everything. Amen? God wants to heal you this morning. He wants restoration to come to your body. He wants to heal you emotionally. It's time to give that situation, that issue, that thing that you're holding on to, the emotions, the baggage, and let your past go. He wants to heal you physically. By his stripes we were healed. The price has been paid. We just have to receive it. And lastly, he wants to heal us spiritually. Aaron, come on back up, man. Angie, two, sorry. He wants to heal us spiritually. He wants for us to be made right with him. That was the whole purpose. Do you know in the book, as I talked about last week, how the Bible is God's plan for man? Do you know what the plan was? That his son would come that we might have life. That we might have access to him. That we might be able to come into his presence. To be healed spiritually. I'm going to close with this verse, Romans 3, 21 and 22. But now, apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed. Attested by law and the prophets, that is, God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. I want to read it out of the Living Bible now. Y'all ready? But now, God has shown us a different way to heaven. Not by being good enough and trying to keep his laws, but by the new way. Though not new really, for the scriptures told us about it long ago. Now God says he will accept and acquit us, declares us not guilty if we trust Jesus Christ to take away all our sins. And we all can be saved in this same way by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. That's God's heart. That no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter what's happening in us right now, he wants us to have an opportunity for restoration with him first and foremost. And listen, man. When God is put in the right place in your life, it takes care of everything else. Everything else lines up. Everything else lines up. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, what you've become. God desires a relationship with you through his son. You might be far from him, but I'm going to tell you what, he's not far from you. So I'm going to do a squirrel real quick, man. When I was in the Navy, we were overseas in between some islands in Greece, right? And I could see one thing on one side, one land way over there on one side, and one land way over there on one side. And they put down the accommodation ladder in the back of the boat off the flight deck. And we all got down and got into the middle of the ocean and went swimming. Like they had like shark guys, spotters on boats and on the top. And so they could shoot them if they all came up. Like, okay, it was dumb. But we did it anyway. But one of the things that I remember was the current out there that was so strong that was pulling us to the boat. Now, when they let us down on the side so that it wouldn't pull us away from the boat. It would pull us to the boat. They had that wisdom, right? But what would happen was I would swim as fast as I could. I was in much better shape, y'all. I could swim really fast back then. I'd swim as fast as I could to get away from the boat, and I would turn around, and the boat would be right there. And I would swim as fast as I could to get away from the boat, and a boat would be right there. Do you know we try with our lives to get as far away from God sometimes as we can, as fast as we can. But the moment that we turn around, he's right there. He's right there. And it doesn't matter how far we think we've gone, he's right there. This morning, man, I want to invite you to accept his love, grace, and mercy, the relationship that he paid for. Romans 3:23 says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect, but God made a way. Amen. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't have to earn anything. Matter of fact, we can't earn anything. It's a gift. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why do we say a prayer? I want us all to confess with our mouth. Why is that important? Because Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we do this, if we confess with our mouth, if we believe in our heart, remember, words are cheap. I can say all kind of stuff and not do it. Scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Right? I can say these words and not allow a change to come in my heart and be no better off than before I said words. Right? I can say I want to work out and get in shape. But without working out, getting in shape. Ta-da! Right? That's what happens. So today, I don't want you to just say these words with me. I want you to look at your heart. I want you to take just this opportunity, even though we're saying these words together, and I want you to give your life to him. I want you to give your life to him. And say, God, it may look crazy. People may tell me that I look dumb for doing it. And here I go again. I'm giving my life to Christ again. Doesn't matter what people say. Look, don't worry about what the world says. Worry about what God the Father says. Worry about what his word tells me my life is supposed to look like and how I'm supposed to act now. Right? Bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. I've tried to run away from you as fast as I can, but you're still right behind me, ready for me to turn to you. Right now, I give you my life. I turn from my wicked ways, according to Scripture. And I accept the gift that you've given to me. I thank you. And I ask now that you would help me. Give me your Holy Spirit so that I could walk in your ways. I could understand your word. I could see the path you've laid out before me. Help me walk it now without looking back. Without worrying about what people think or say. Let me have the freedom that you paid for in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, man, if you prayed that prayer, if you're online, man, if you want to throw something in the comments, that'd be great. Listen, if you don't want to throw it in the comments right now, I still want to hear about it. So, like, direct messages or on Facebook or whatever, we'll get it, we'll see it. If you're here, why don't you do me a favor? There's a card in the back of the seat. It's called a connection card, man. And mark the box that says that I renewed my life to Christ. If you have my phone number, man, you're welcome to shoot me a text this week. Why am I saying to do that? Why is it important? Because I want to pray with you as you start this. Because you know what? There's going to be enough people, just to be real, there's going to be enough people that's going to try and discourage you from following God. You need some people to be praying and encouraging you to follow him. And that's what our family here at Victory Church should be all about. Right? Yeah. Should be about coming and sitting in these seats and then going our own way. It should be praying and interceding and encouraging and building up each other. And that's one way we can do that. Find some people that are walking that walk and jump on with them. Right? One of the best things that I did when I left here is every friend that I established in Louisiana when I gave my life to Christ up there was all going towards God as fast as they could. That was the best thing that could happen for me. Not saying people down here was bad and I shouldn't have been around them. We all shouldn't have been doing the things we were doing, but me getting around people that was going that direction made it easier for me to go that direction. Amen? So find some people to surround yourself with. Get in your word and read. Sit down and start reading about what God says. What his word says about who you are. He said, well, I don't know where to start. Man, like I said, get with me and I'll give you some stuff. I'll give you some stuff. All right? I'll read some stuff with you. Right? Ladies, if you're a lady, I'll have my wife read some stuff with y'all. We'll stand side by side with y'all and walk because it's important. Thank you for filling that out, man. Let's give those who prayed that prayer a hand in the house this morning, man. It should be a celebration. Yeah. We should have a, you know what? We can all have a donut after church. If there's not enough, we'll just cut them all up. It'll be like it's a cake. They're cake donuts today. Publix was out of the other ones, right? So it's just like having a cake, sort of. No icing. I'm just going to tell y'all. My favorite donut is a blueberry cake donut.
Oh, yeah, mine too.
Or a sour cream glazed donut. Like, it don't even taste like sour cream. That's the good part about it. I hate sour cream. Like, but I love them donuts, man. Go ahead and keep making them, y'all. Anyway, God is good to us, right? Let's enjoy the life that he's given us. Let's enjoy the people that he's put in our lives. And look, if you look around here this morning, I know that there's some people, and if you want to be distant, be like, I love you from afar. That's okay too. But get to know people that are here. Let's treat each other like family, because that's what we are. Amen? Yeah. We're going to sing, and then Aaron's going to pray to get us up out of here.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Stand with us.